It's great to see you this morning. I've got a question for you to start off with. It's actually not a question, it's more of a statement. Isn't it wonderful when someone helps you heal? When someone helps you go through a healing process, isn't that wonderful when somebody helps you? I'm going to give you a little personal story if that's okay. Over the years, I've had teeth sensitivity, like, you know, where you get a cup of ice with liquid in it and you drink it and it's like, shock! Anybody ever have that before? Like, oh! It's like, wow, you know, it's like I'm totally feeling this sensation from the ice. And the thing that's actually the worst is eating grapefruit. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like, eat a grapefruit, and then there's no comfort in the next thing you're trying to eat. It's like, stop, I have to wait a period of time. And so anyway, you know, just the first thing I needed to realize is that, you know, my tooth enamel was wearing away, because guess what I do in the middle of the night? I grind my teeth. So they fit me with a bit, just like a horse, put that thing in there. So that was good. That stopped me from grinding my teeth. But guess what? My sensitivity continued to happen. And so my dentist said this. He says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get this special toothpaste that's heavily, lots of fluoride in it. I want you to get that, and I want you to brush with it. And he says, it's a little bit expensive, but I want you to do this. So I get this toothpaste. And he's right. It was expensive. Every time I brush with it, I'm like, there's a buck, you know, like, this is crazy, you know. So I was very limited in using it, and, and there wasn't any impact. And so, you know, I had my next visit, and it's like, you really need to just go all in on it. I'm like, okay, I will. And so I started brushing with this stuff. And after 4 weeks, it was like all the discomfort I was having was gone. I mean, truly, I am not, like, just saying this. It was like, this is amazing, like, ice cream every night, you know, and no discomfort. It's just amazing. Isn't it amazing when someone helps you in a healing process? Isn't it amazing? Some of you have had surgery, right? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You've had surgery. There's somebody from our church here that had knee replacement, and you know, that's a pretty rigorous thing you got to go through, and it's a long kind of process to get it completely done. And so this guy, you know, he had it, and so I was talking to him the other day, and he goes, it's awesome. I can walk without pain. You know, isn't it wonderful? Or some of you've had trouble in your marriage, and you know, your marriage is on the end. I mean, it just feels like it's on the rocks and things aren't happening. You humbled yourself, you decided to go to counseling. So you meet with the counselor, and the counselor says, hey, you know, when you guys are having conflict, do this skill set, do these things right here, and it may help you. And so you've been practicing that, and it's like, it's incredible. There's healing in your marriage, and you're just seeing some wonderful things, and you believe that this counselor has brought healing to you, has helped save your marriage. It's just amazing when someone brings healing, isn't it? It's wonderful. And you know, when someone brings you healing, that says something about the person, doesn't it? It says something about the person that took the time to, you know, share information or, you know, share a skill set. It shows something about their motives, that they're not just there for themselves, you know. It shows that they're kind and thoughtful. So we started a series a few weeks ago. We're in Mark. We're studying the Gospel of Mark. And I'm just so excited about it. I want to encourage you to be reading through Mark. So we started this, and it's all about real Jesus. It's all about the God we do not expect. And what we're going to talk about today is that Jesus Christ is the most amazing healer you could ever imagine. He is an incredible healer. He can bring healing to you no matter who you are, no matter what you went through. He's an incredible healer. And what this does is it tells us so much about Him. Because you see, Jesus' healing, it's revealing. The healing of Jesus is revealing. It tells us something about who he truly is. And by the end of our time together this morning, I want you to be just marveling at who Jesus is. That's the goal. That's the goal I have put before me this morning. So thank you, Danny, for reading Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 45. By the way, it's on page 1284 in the Journey Bible if you want to follow along. We're going to look at this healing, and I want you to see that this healing right here of the leper is revealing in three ways. We're going to look at three ways that we learn about who Jesus is through this healing. So we'll get to that in just a moment, but I'm going to go verse by verse. So we're looking at the first verse, Mark chapter 1, verse 40. This is what it says. A man with leprosy came to him, came to Jesus, and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." So a man comes to Jesus. He has leprosy. And leprosy in the biblical times, in the ancient times, it was a terrible skin disease. It was terrible. Today, most forms of leprosy from the old times can be treated with a simple antibiotic or some other treatment. But in those days, it left someone in a lot of pain. It disfigured them many times, even their faces and their fingers and stuff like that. It maimed them and crippled them. And many died. The belief in the ancient times was, if you had leprosy, it could not be cured. This was a death sentence. This was the condition that you were going to be in for the rest of your life. And the belief was, only God could heal it. Only God could take away the leprosy, and only God could cleanse you. Only God could purify you from what had happened. The physical suffering of leprosy was severe, very painful, but the psychological suffering was perhaps even worse. Lepers were not allowed to be around others. Once a person was declared contaminated, that leper would be living a lonely and isolated life. And this was all to protect the health of the community. And this is all laid out, by the way, in Leviticus chapter 13 through chapter 14. Two full chapters, very detailed dermatology report if you're interested. Leviticus 13 through 14. And you know, this just brings to mind to me the lockdown from COVID-19. Remember in 2000? When we were all isolated away, and we have seen the effects of that. There's been some very detrimental effects to our society of being isolated from one another. And the leper's quarantine was eons worse, just way worse than anything we could imagine. And so this leper, this man who has this disease, he comes out of quarantine. He's busting out, and he takes a risk. He takes a courageous risk. He takes a courageous risk to come to Jesus. See, there's special strength here, and it's built on faith that he's feeling like that, you know, something good could happen here. He comes to seek healing. He comes to seek cleansing. Jesus is able to heal him, he believes. Okay? This healing is revealing because, number one, right here, the leper is saying this: Jesus is able to heal. That's the one thing that we need to grasp here this morning. Jesus is able. He's able to heal. So he comes out of quarantine. He's breaking the law of Moses. As a declared leper, he was required to stay away. As a matter of fact, if he saw people, he had to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And then they would run away. They would run away from him, right? And, you know, you can see why people would run away. Nobody wants the disease. It's kind of like when I was growing up and AIDS came out. It was like, everybody's like, "Don't drink at the same drinking fountain. Run away." You know, that kind of thing. It was kind of the same idea that I experienced in the 80s. But there was another reason why people were running away. It wasn't just the physical ramification. Leprosy was seen as a result of sin. There was a physical issue. But the way the ancients saw it is there was also a moral issue here. There was something morally wrong with this guy who has leprosy. And it really brings a question to us. Does sin cause disease and sickness? And so if you look at the Old Testament, you see examples of times where people did wrong and then they got diseases. Miriam, she's an example. This is in the Old Testament. Miriam was who? Moses' sister, right? She raised up against Moses, said some things about Moses, and then she was judged because of that contempt that she showed, and she got leprosy. And so, you know, we see that. We see it in the New Testament as well. There's a passage that talks about the meal of remembrance, communion. Like, do not take it in an unworthy manner, like in a frivolous manner, and not thinking about the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul says in that letter, he says, some of you are sick because you've taken it in an unworthy manner. So it's right there in the scripture. And then in James chapter 5, verse 16, it says this. It says, it's in the passage where it's talking about healing. It's talking about sickness. And it says, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. So we kind of see that. And yet, it doesn't mean that definitively that sickness is a result of sin. You may be sick here this morning. You may be at home watching. It doesn't mean that it's because of sin. It can mean, though, that it's because of sin. And we see one reason is just natural consequences. Someone overdrinks and by the way, it is sinful to overdrink. It is sinful to be drunk. It's not sinful to have a drink. It's sinful to be drunk with wine or with alcohol. It's not doing it in moderation, and so that's sinful. And, well, what are the natural consequences of that? Well, a hangover, you know? So there you go. Or it's, you know, the Scripture directs our sexuality. And if we go out of bounds with sexuality, like, for example, having a one-night stand, a consequence of that may be a sexually transmitted disease. And so sometimes there are natural consequences for the things that we do. But not all diseases are indicative of punishment. But they do remind us of this, something the leper was well aware of. We live in a fallen world. We live in a broken world. We live in a sinful world where things are not right. And so this man comes to Christ and he's falling down. He's begging. He says this. He says, if you are willing, you can heal me. This healing is revealing because Jesus' ability to heal reveals his deity. His ability to heal, and he will heal. We will see that in the story. He does heal, and he heals immediately. And so the leper believes that Jesus is God. And God, because God does as he wills. He knows he can do it. He's just wondering, are you willing to do it? You know, interesting thing about Jesus, he doesn't have supply chain issues. Anybody experiencing supply chain issues? You know, you go to the mechanic shop and, you know, you need this. And it's like, oh, we're in the supply chain issues, so we can't do that yet. We'll have to wait a couple months or whatever. Jesus doesn't have that. He immediately heals because he's God. So by faith, the leper believed that the Lord Jesus had the power, as Scott talked about last week, the power and the authority to heal disease, to heal his sinfulness as well. So he's going to heal his physical nature and he's going to cleanse him. He's going to purify him as well. There's a great verse in 1 John. It's 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive you your sins and purify you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So this leper has faith. He believes that Jesus is able. He just has a question. He's just not sure if he wants to, if he will. And so we're always going to have questions when we're thinking about Jesus and we're deciding whether we'll follow him or not. It's okay to have questions. This leper had questions. But we start with this idea, and I just want to ask you, do you believe he's able? No matter what you have going on in your life, what's happening in your family life, what's happening in your heart, do you believe he is able to heal you? It's the first step. It's the first step to healing. So let's look at that next verse. This is verse 41. It says, moved with indignation, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. You might expect an observant Jew to kind of recoil or flinch back out of self-defense, perhaps. Protecting oneself or out of fear. Maybe even get angry, like, hey, you ever had like somebody get in your space, like they get a little too close? You know, when I kind of like personal space, not in all things, but, you know, like standing talking to someone, somebody gets too close, I'm thinking like, do you really want to smell my bad breath? Is what I'm thinking, you know, in my mind. Like, Jesus doesn't say like, you know, get out of my space. He doesn't do that. No, this is what he does. He turns to him. He turns to this leper. He doesn't recoil. He doesn't run away. And it says he's moved with indignation. Let's think about this for a minute. Some other versions, you may have a different version of the Bible. Sometimes it says compassion. Well, which is it? Is it indignation or is it compassion? There's a technical reason why those two different words are there. I'm not going to get into that. But I want to say, let me explain to you how it's both. It's actually both. Jesus is deeply moved. He's also deeply fired up by the situation. He's deeply moved by this disfigured man who is suffering, who's, you know, estranged from his family, estranged from his community. And he's also has this fire in his belly over, like, this isn't the way I want it to be. This isn't the way it should be. This isn't just. This isn't right. So, like, if there's a situation, let's just say that, a child, I mean, this is a terrible thing to even say, a child gets kidnapped, okay? And there's no other details. It's a child got kidnapped, and anybody here that has a child, I mean, your heart immediately would break for that family. If you're a grandparent, or you have, you know, nieces and nephews, or if you someday desire to have kids, I mean, you can just probably feel it in your gut that, oh, this child has been taken. And that can grow into a feeling of indignation about the situation, about the injustice. And so you see that this kind of compassion that Christ has, it's not just a like a sympathy, like, oh, I'm so sorry for you, and then walk away and then forget about it. It's like something that lingers, something that's there, something that's a fire in someone's belly to actually do something about it. And that's what we see here. I had this experience. I have a brother that he's cognitively impaired. And years ago, the day my dad died, I had to go find him. And he was living with some other guys, and they were taking advantage of him in terrible ways. And I felt so sorry and so turmoiled in my stomach, in my heart. And I was also so angry and so filled with indignation. So maybe you've experienced that. This compassion is a very, very strong compassion that Jesus has. This, what this person is facing is wrong, and it needs to be changed. So Jesus turned to him. Jesus turns to him. He doesn't recoil. He doesn't say, get out of my space. He turns to him and he touches him. He breaks the law. he breaks the Mosaic law. And, Jesus is touching the untouchable. And that speaks louder than words, doesn't it? And he says this, though. He says, I am willing to be cleansed. So this leper healing, is revealing because, number two, Jesus is willing to heal. Number one, he's able to heal. The leper believes it. He's there because he has faith. I know you can heal me. I'm just wondering if you're willing. And Jesus says, I am willing. That's number two. I am willing to heal. I'm willing to heal you. And this aspect of Jesus it's just remarkable when you walk through the Gospels. This aspect of his healing that is remarkable because he's continually seeing people and his heart breaks for them. He has this compassion over and over again. There's a case in Luke chapter 7 where a mother loses a son and Jesus sees her and his heart breaks for her. There's another case where there's these two blind guys and they're just trying to like get some attention, like, hey, you know, Jesus, help us. And the crowd's like, be quiet. You know, you guys don't deserve anything. And Jesus looks at them and his heart breaks for them. And then there's a big crowd and they're coming up, getting closer to Jesus, and he looks out there and he's able to see like each individual person. He's able to see them in a big crowd like this, you know, and he's able to see them, and it's like he saw the harassed and the helpless. He saw the people who were like sheep not having a shepherd. And it says he had this word, this compassion. His heart broke for them. It's just remarkable. And I want you to know this morning, that Jesus cares about you, and he wants to bring you a kind of healing that you can't even imagine. You can't even fathom. His heart breaks for you. We see this over and over again. And with the leper, it was like Jesus was like, I love you even though you're in this condition, and I'm here to help you. Jesus' healing is revealing because his willingness to heal reveals his heart of compassion. See, Jesus' willingness to do it, it shows. He's got that heart. He's got that heart of care. He has that heart of kind of indignation that I'm going to do something. I want to see this come to fruition. So maybe that's you here today. You're just not sure if you can be loved by Jesus. You've done some things wrong. You've made some mistakes. Things have not gone well. And you haven't handled it well. And you're just wondering, am I worthy? And I want you to know, my friend, this morning, no matter what you've done, no matter who you are, no matter what situation, he's turning to you. Jesus is turning to you. He's looking at you, and his heart breaks for you. Okay, so let's look and see what happens in this case. Verse 42, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Mark chapter 1, verse 42. Two things happen here. And again, immediately. By the way, Mark, one of his favorite words is immediately. But this is really strong here. Immediately. Jesus said the word. He said, that's two words. He said, be cleansed. And immediately, number one, the leprosy left this individual. And then number two, he was cleansed. He was purified. You see, those two things were kind of working together there. The physical part and this spiritual part. This healing, this is the last one, this healing is revealing because number three, Jesus can heal physically and spiritually with a word. Think of the power of that. Jesus can heal you with a word. And there was a guy in the Bible that really got this. He was a centurion who was part of the Roman, you know, Empire. And he heard about Jesus, and this centurion, he's out on his work or whatever, and he sees Jesus. And at home, he has a servant who is paralyzed and suffering terribly. And he kind of goes up to Jesus, and he shares this. And Jesus says, shall I go with you to your home? And the centurion, he's like, no. He says, just say the word, and he will be healed. Just say the word. He goes, I'm a man under authority, the centurion. He says, I'm a man under authority, and I have people under my authority. And when I tell them to go and do this, they go and do that. And when I say come and, you know, come over here, they come over and they do what I say. And in the same way, and Jesus said to him, let it be done as you believed it would. And he said, go. We know that Jesus is able. Based on this passage. We know this based on the scripture, based on the numerous times that Jesus brings healing. We know that he's able. And he's willing. He's willing. And we know that he can heal it anything, physical, spiritual. He can heal it immediately. So the question is, why doesn't Jesus always heal us physically? Maybe that's a question you have. Maybe you're sitting at home and you're like, I can't even be at church because I'm suffering. Why doesn't Jesus heal me? In the Gospels, every time somebody came to him, it appears, Jesus healed them. Why doesn't Jesus heal every physical situation today? Well, let me give you two reasons, two thoughts to consider. First of all, Jesus never promises immediate or automatic healing from every physical affliction. Just because every time in the gospel he did it doesn't mean that it's promised to everyone after that. As a matter of fact, the gospel healings, we know he was showing that he was the Messiah, and this was a prophecy that was fulfilled in his healings. But he doesn't promise it, okay? And it's because of the second reason. Jesus' ultimate interest is not in this world. His ultimate interest in you, the creature that he's made, the creation he's made, is not in this world. You might remember, and we'll look at this in Mark chapter 8 a little bit later, but on one occasion Jesus said, what good is it for someone to gain this whole world and yet lose their soul? What good is it for you to have everything you want here, to have the wealth you want here, and yet you lose your soul? Okay? This world is temporal. I had someone in my office this morning who has a place in Fort Myers that is completely destroyed. The person was down there. They just got back last night. And the devastation is just incredible to see. And it's just, it reminds us this world is temporal. The things we have, our health. No one lives forever, right? It's temporal. So what do you do if you ask for physical healing and you do not receive it? What should you think? Should you think that, you know, and some do think God is not able. He can't fix this one. He can do that one, but not this one. No. Oh, he's not willing. He doesn't want to help me. He wants me to suffer. No, that's not right. But perhaps we need to realize that Jesus wants to do something deeper. He wants to do something deeper in you. He wants to do something deeper in me. You see, Jesus is always healing. Healing is always possible, but sometimes we may not know the type of healing that Jesus is working on at a given time. In Christ, I believe this with all my heart, He wills to do what is best for you. He wills to do what is best for me. And what is the best thing that Jesus can do for you? Get you pointed for eternity. Get me pointed for the world that's after this world. Not just this world, but what's to come. To help us realize the temporal nature of this world, that it's passing, you know, that it's not forever. But there is a world to come that is forever. We need help in that. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, look this up, 28 and 29. This is a famous verse. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. We love that verse. It's like, He's going to give me what I want. That's what we think. He's going to work together for my good. Well, what is my good? That's a good question to ask. The second verse says this: for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's the best thing God can do for you and for me, is to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. That's what He wants to do. He wants to make us after Him. And so He's going to do everything He can to help us in that endeavor. Here's what I want you to think about. Jesus' healing is revealing because the priority of spiritual healing is revealed. His priority is to spiritually heal you. And sometimes physical healing is a part of that, sometimes it's not. In fact, suffering can be a grace by which you are matured in Christ, molded into the likeness of Him who suffered in your place and in my place. Suffering can make us more and more into the image of Christ. Amen? Jesus heals, though, with the word of His mouth. He can heal immediately. He can save you for eternity if you turn to Him, if you believe Him, if you trust Him, if you put your hope in the world that is to come. You know, when praying for people that you care about, Oswald Chambers, I've been going back to him a little bit and been studying him. Oswald Chambers says, don't pray that God will take away the pain in their life. Pray that God will use it to bring them to Him. That's hard as a parent, isn't it? That's hard to not pray, take this pain away from my child. But there's something bigger. There's bigger fish to fry, they might say. Right? So there's three ways to take this passage, three ways I want you to respond to it. Go ahead and please stand up. We're going to end up our time. I'm going to say a quick prayer at the very end. But number one is marvel at the healer. That's what I want you to do. I want you to think about the way that Jesus Christ has healed you, how he has orchestrated healing in your life. Reflect on it. How has he healed you? Your addiction, your sinfulness, what he's taken away. Sometimes it is a physical thing. I have a friend I was on the phone with who's a pastor downstate. He's had like this liver inflammation for 4 weeks. It turned out to be some kind of bacterial thing. And God just took it away. And he's restored. And sometimes God works that way. But what I want you to do, here's the next step for you today to think about, reflect back on, marvel on the wonderful healer that Jesus Christ is. Here's a second next step. Accept the healer Jesus. Maybe you're here today, you've never accepted him. You've never received Christ. You never said, come into my life, Lord. I surrender it all to you. I don't understand this pain that I have. I don't understand why this is happening. But I'm going to put you in the highest place of my life. I just urge you to do that today. Believe that he's able. Believe that he's willing. Believe that his heart breaks for you and that he wants what is best for you. Put your trust in him. Now here's the last one. I wish I could spend more time on this. We're going to do an equip on this one, by the way. Become the healer. Become a healer like Jesus. This is the best next step that you can do if you're a Christian, is to become like Christ. Become a healer, which means this. It means turn to people. It means let their pain, you know, empathize with their pain. Let their pain get inside. Connect with them. And then do something about it. Act in their behalf. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it gives us a straight edge to put our life up against, to understand who we are and the difficulties that are there, the purpose of them, and to understand who you are. And I praise you this morning, Lord Jesus, that you are an amazing healer. I praise you that when we put our hope and trust in you, you do incredible, eternal things that we can't even fathom. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the glory that is to come. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the incredible joy that we will have in you when we're not in this world, and for the world that is to come. Please guide and direct us this day. Help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit's leading and have the courage to do, just like the leper, have the courage to do what you call us to do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before I dismiss you, we'll have prayer up here on my right. If you'd like to come up, you need prayer or you want to pray for somebody. Thank you for coming. Have a great week.